Conciliums with Pete and Charlie.
I'm Pete.
I'm Charlie.
The unity of knowledge.
That and a whole bunch of caffeine is what's going to get us through this. Get in here, Peter. We're recording already.
Are we really?
Here we are, because this is a speed round. We have 19 minutes and 47 seconds to record this podcast. Close that door, please.
Otherwise, your head will explode.
I got a meeting, and things are just...
And are you taking a meeting?
Getting nutsy.
Like in Hollywood?
Yeah, I got to take a meeting, dude.
My people will call people.
I just walked through the peanut gallery out there in the
There RC. Is a crowd of intimidating young men out there in the rec lobby.
And I said, dudes, this looks like a scene I lived through at Dragon Con this weekend. And they didn't throw crap at me, so.
How was Dragon Con?
Dragon Con's always good. I will say this. I'm amazed. Derek, who runs the Skeptics track, and they got a new guy running the science track. They were basically filled most of the time. So it was either almost filled or completely filled so people couldn't get in there. We have a relatively new, it's not new this year, but it was new a little while ago, robotics and makers track. Exciting stuff happening with very practical science engineering oriented stuff. It's not just dressing up like a Wookiee and trying to meet people.
It is just that.
No, that's part of it.
But
part of it is
to it now.
The citizen scientist, the citizen do-it-yourselfer, the maker, they're excited.
I saw Lou Lefton at the Decatur Book Festival at the Atlanta.
At the Maker Fair.
The
Maker Tent. The Maker Space.
Decatur Makers? Atlanta Makers?
Decatur Makers. That's rhymes. I like that better. Yeah, it's the Decatur
Makers. Decatur Makers.
I was there. I did pop in and say hi to Lou. I introduced Scott Weems, author of Ha, the Science of, I'm trying to think, When We Laugh and Why, I think is the actual title.
Nice.
Very interesting topic.
We festivaled up this Labor Day.
Oh, it was like, it was wall-to-wall festivals. It was.
What does that even mean? What the hell is wrong with you?
It's like wall-to-wall carpeting. I mean, it covers the entire plane of the entire playing field.
Peter, I was in places in Atlanta, and there were no festivals there.
But there were a lot of other festivals, too.
Your description is inaccurate, and frankly,
are you saying
a little condescending?
I wax hyperbolic. Yeah, I'm exaggerated just a little bit.
I love it when you use big words that I understand. It makes me so happy.
Because I only understand a few big words, so I have to use the words.
And hyperbolic is a good one.
Nonplussed still confuses and enrages me.
Well, you know, nonplussed, what do you think it means?
Right, I don't remember.
No, I'd love to
they
hear
always it. The context, it always sounds like you're pissed off. And I go, he was quite nonplussed at the commentary he received.
You might say that folks in your audiences are sometimes nonplussed.
Especially when I'm talking. What does nonplussed mean? You're the wordy guy.
I have no idea.
Okay, it just sounds really cool. Like, either people would resent you for using it or think you're just... what's my favorite word? Polymath. Think you're a polymath.
That's lovely. It's nonplussed is a lot like bemused in the sense that it isn't really the meaning that we think of these days. Because when you think bemused, what do you think that means?
I am humorously intrigued.
Exactly. Bemused has no humor component to its definition.
Right, because I think of amused.
And you should not.
Bemused is what? I've gone broken arrow, I'm ready to kick your hiney?
Yeah, I don't think there's violence based in bemused.
Okay, so there's no humor, no violence. What's left?
Well, it's...
Sexual? Is it a sexual word? Is that what you're saying?
You know what? Now it is. Yes. I leave it as an exercise to the listener.
For the listener.
To look up the definitions of bemused, okay. Nonplussed, and wall-to-wall.
Well, I think I got wall-to-wall right. I mean, it's a compound modifier, which should be hyphenated, correct?
Wall-to-wall.
Yeah.
That is important. And not dashes. Don't get crazy.
All right. What's the difference between the short dash and the long dash? What's the name of the long dash? Doesn't it have
an
funny...
M dash.
An M dash?
Yeah, and the short one's a N dash.
Well, M and M sound so similar. It's poor choice. The P and the Q dash.
It's from typesetting. The M dash is the length
the longer
of the
dash.
M.
And the N dash
N,
is the length
like
of
the N.
Is it capital
lowercase,
or lowercase?
Lowercase.
But now that we have both proportional and...
Oh, yeah. Everything's kind of funky now when it comes to typesetting.
Of course, we were doing stand-up comedy at 10 o'clock on the Skeptics track at DragonCon, and Lou Lefton did do his joke about the fact that after all these years, Campbell's Vegetable Soup still only uses one font.
There's a certain glory to a staunch conservatism.
When it comes to fonts and your alphabet soup?
No, just in general. Someone who is, this is how I do it.
If the thing you're clinging to makes sense. If the thing you're clinging to is stupid.
Like what?
Well, let's pick some conservative things. And I will say this.
Wait.
No, I mean things that people don't like to change. That's okay, I don't mean politically
Let's not get political because I can't take it
today. That's okay. We don't have to get political. Right.
There's actually a timer here, and it's going to set off an alarm when we have to end this podcast.
A lot of people believe in the old days where people should be more polite. I think there's something to that.
I believe in politeness also.
Yeah.
You know the definition of a gentleman?
Uh-oh, is this like the Titanic definition? You could almost be mistaken for a gentleman. Condescending people that drink brandy and smoke cigars while the ship is going down?
A gentleman is a person who is never rude except on purpose.
All right, I like that. Because if you're trying to be rude because you simply will not take it anymore and you're trying to put someone in their place saying...
Rude with purpose.
Yeah. But if you're just rude because you're not thinking... Yeah, I like that. That's not a bad.
You like that one?
Sometimes you got to be rude. You know, like in traffic in Midtown Manhattan.
Now, you know what the balance to a gentleman is?
Uh-oh.
Filthy animal.
I don't get that.
If you're not a gentleman, you're a filthy animal.
I do believe there's a no man's land in between there.
No. Dichotomies make the world go round, man.
No, it just makes for good literature for you guys.
Yeah, you gotta take a stance, Pete.
Hmm. Well, I did encounter some interesting overlap.
Folks, I really wish you could have seen the look on Pete's face.
That was my segue. I had a small stroke.
So facial drooping.
Right.
And then the AST, I forget what it was.
You slur your T is...
Take action.
Fast is fast, call,
facial
right?
Drooping. A is something. S is slurred
speech. Slurred speech. And A is asymmetric look to your face, maybe?
T is take action.
Okay. Okay, now that you've learned how to both recognize and deal with a stroke.
Pete and I know this because of the PSA on WREK for FAST.
That is good, but I've heard it other places as well. I still like Ken Jeong's thing for CPR that reminds you to do your pulses to stay alive. What if you never saw? I think you're doing that a little slowly.
Staying alive.
And you got to...
Hey, nice voice.
Can't tell by the way. Here's my walk and my walk and my no time to know.
My trademark is nice voice, low energy. That's how I am.
I can do it. You do have a good voice for radio and a good face for radio now that I think about it. But since the goal of this podcast is to examine the connection between the humanities and science.
Yes.
There's another way that humanities and science connect. And I was reminded of it as I was listening to, I forget the name of the Tom Clancy novel, which I'm listening to on an audiobook, not a book on tape.
Is it the one with the bomb?
No, it wasn't one of his famous ones, Some of All Fears, which is excellent.
Was it one of the ones that was written by someone who wasn't Tom Clancy?
There are a lot of those, and some of those are good. This is the one that I believe has Tom Clancy only as the author. We're going to go to Audible.
While Pete looks this up, I'm going to describe something that happened in the grocery store.
The Bear and the Dragon by Tom Clancy.
That was fast. Okay. I'll back off.
Grocery store. Oh, there it is. We're listening to it.
No, there's going to be a copyright problem if we...
Look, it was 3 seconds. I don't think we're going to take a hit. I like Tom Clancy because even though he's a novelist and one of the points that...
Speaking of conservative...
Are novelists conservatives?
No, Tom Clancy.
He is, but he's not crazy conservative.
Well, he's also dead.
Jack Ryan, who's his main character, is conservative, but he's not an unreasonable guy. Kind of like, we shouldn't get political, but Johnny Isaacson, who's one of the senators from the great state of Georgia. Is that how you have to talk if you're a... From the great state of Georgia cast all their ballots for Charlie Bennett.
It's Georgia from now on. I've always wondered what William F. Buckley would have been like if he'd been a secret agent. This is true. I'm not making this up. Imagine William F. Buckley with a gun.
No, I'm trying to remember how he did it. The vicissitudes of
the
my,
trick with him.
My martini will always be is that how you shaken nuts.
He always went before a word that required no help.
Oh.
He would say that, you know, the vicissitudes of desolation help. Like he, you know, it was always
maybe
needed.
There were many strokes. You don't really know. I don't know.
Are you having a brain event right now?
No, I don't. I don't believe I am. I don't believe I'm having any sort of medical event.
How was your DragonCon experience?
Are you going to let me get to my story?
Okay.
All right. So, Tom Clancy,
the author.
Yeah. So they're dealing with China. They always like to make China, or maybe he's got an Asian thing. China or Japan is always the bad guy. Sometimes Russia's the bad guy, but in this case, Russia's not the bad guy.
Red Dawn was remade.
Yeah, I saw the remake.
Remember who was the bad guy?
Russia.
No, in the remake.
Oh, the remake was
North Korea,
yes.
And you know how they shot it? The bad guy was China.
Oh.
And you know what happened? Someone said, hey, guys, turns out most of the people who are going to watch our movie are Chinese.
A lot of American movies are very big in China.
Well, it's not even that. It's just, I mean, think
whereas
of
I'm
the
guessing
number
not a lot of theaters
Chinese
in North Korea.
Audience members.
Yeah. Yes, if you go with the odds, yeah.
Yeah. Right. So, and I mean, a lot of overseas money. So someone,
well, that happens all the time. Actually.
Someone somewhere said, look, we can't, they just can't be Chinese. And someone said, well, let's just call them North Korean. And they dubbed North Korea over.
Oh, okay.
Into all, I mean, they were all speaking.
Do you see them as a sellout? They've sold out their art for doing that?
Okay, I don't think Red Dawn or its remake is really art.
Ooh.
Oh. Now, you know,
it's not a genre-defining film.
The original Red Dawn, Patrick Swayze saying, now get up there and piss in the radiator. Art, clearly.
I don't remember that line, really.
They're driving away and the radiator's empty and they're like, well, you know, just pee in it. And,
okay.
And Patrick Swayze tells someone to get up there and do it.
And that's what makes it art?
Yeah, that and also the fact that I forget the big conflict ending shootout at the end, our hero, jackass that he is, says, hey, before he shoots somebody, and they spin around and shoot him, and then he shoots them, and it's just like, why would you? You know what? I retract my original statement. There's no art to Red Dawn. John Milius, there's an art to his life. God bless him, crazy man that he was. But the remake...
Was he the writer of...
Writer, and you know what, now I have to look up who directed it.
I think there
it.
Were some interesting ideas in Red Dawn.
You know...
I enjoyed the original one.
There are interesting ideas in almost everything. Don't you think?
No.
Not everything.
Oh, no. I'm not a big fan of Dora the Explorer.
John Milius, you know, I have gotten a lot more hip to Dora the Explorer since...
Actually, I mean the old Dora. The new Dora, Dora and Friends, little hipper, little edgier. The old one, kind of boring.
So what's your story?
All right, my story is every once in a while...
John Milius did direct Red Dawn, the original.
Okay. I watched Red Dawn. I thought it was okay. I took home something from it.
Do you know what's interesting about John Milius? He was the model for Walter in The Big Lebowski.
Really?
Yeah, man.
Here. Oh, I got to meet this guy.
Check it out. So we're gonna
meet this dude,
John Milius, Walter. Pow! Look at that.
So right, this is the character played by
John Goodman.
John Goodman
is based on the director John Milius.
Okay.
If you Google search,
do you wear a lot of bowling shirts?
Walter, I don't think so. You will get some great stuff. Okay,
I have a great bowling shirt. I used to wear it as a. I think I tossed it, but I used to wear it as a Halloween costume. It was like bright yellow and black, and it said Feibel's Lanes, Teaneck, New Jersey. You just can't find a more authentic
bowling. I would like that shirt.
It was a good shirt. I think my wife made me donate it to some charity or something. So there's some guy who went to the Goodwill store and got Feibel's Lanes.
The charity was your marriage. That's what you were donating it to.
Well, I was trying to preserve my marriage. That's why I got rid of the shirt. But one of the points in this, what did I call this? Big Bear, Red Dragon? All right, stop waving stuff at me. Why are we so short, though?
I'll put it away.
You have a meeting. That's right.
That's right.
Medicals. If Charlie has a meeting, we must... You must deal with that constraint here. The Bear and the Dragon. And it's actually, The Bear and the Dragon is Russian-China.
Do you want to fight? Because we could fight.
No, I don't want to do that.
Okay.
But one of the things he pointed out...
We could strip down like Vladimir Putin.
could we and oil up
it
too?
Like men.
That's what makes
in
it
an
tough.
Icy bath.
If I have to try to grab you when you're oily. That's a scary thought. But
I'm like
he points
watermelon.
Out that the difference between a novelist and a journalist is that a novelist gets to make stuff up. So you wonder, what is the value of a novelist, right, if they make stuff up? But every once in a while, they make up a scenario that informs how we think about real life.
And we look at this. Simulations,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So you look at this. And now, Tom Clancy, you've got the United States president dealing with China on fair trade issues. And apparently they passed this act called the Fair Trade Act or something like that. And by the way, we passed similar sounding
bills.
Yeah,
isn't that real?
It is, but this one's different.
This is not a variation of NAFTA?
No, this one's very explicit. It says, and it's very logical, it says any trade practices, tariffs, or issues that another country applies to the United States, that we are allowed to apply those very same things in our dealing with them. So it says if that country charges large tariffs on our goods or restricts our goods or doesn't give our goods access to their markets, we're allowed to do the same thing. Man, is that an interesting idea.
Why?
Well, it basically says that so Congress passed a law that said the Department of Commerce and the federal government.
Is this real or is this in the book?
This is in the book.
Okay.
So we have things like fair trade acts, but none of them explicitly say it like this that I know of. And if we're wrong, somebody shoot us an email and let us know. But could you imagine that, you know, there are a lot of countries that don't give us proper access to their markets, that we could reciprocate and say, look, we will give you the same restricted access to our markets if you don't, you know, play fair.
Isn't the real trouble with that China, though? Because of the number of consumers, the number of potential consumers, right?
Right, but I think what we have to say is we will have to deal with the fact that we won't be getting cheap products at places like Walmart and Too Bad. But at least it gives us the option. It gives us the option of exercising the same tariffs and restrictions that another country exercises upon us. I just thought as an idea of law and diplomacy, I think that could be a really good idea.
So where do you
don't have to, but we have the option.
Where do you take that idea when you read something like that?
I just wonder why we don't have a law like that, or people haven't considered similar laws in real life.
But here's what I'm asking in particular. You are a scientist, an engineer. You are not a novelist. You're not an economist. You're not a trade activist or anything like that.
Right.
So when that idea hits you, gets
right.
in the brain,
right.
Can you hear the rain? That's amazing.
I can hear the rain.
Yeah, and
yes.
I bet you the listeners can too. There's a storm, not a brewing.
It's all over. It's like steak and a monkey.
Yeah. What do you do with those ideas when they strike you like that?
To me, I thought that was a really interesting idea.
But do you just think about it? I mean, what do you take away?
I would support.
In essence, this is the intersection of science and the humanities.
Right.
This is when art
that.
Causes something to happen.
Yeah. But, you know, if someone suggested a similar law in Congress, I would support that. I think that's a good thing.
Because it's interesting?
No, because I think it's a real way to level the playing field and make trade fair. I must admit, I supported NAFTA and other bills like CAFTA because I didn't fully understand them. I thought it was a sign of weakness for anyone to put a tariff and to restrict your markets. I thought that's not fair trade. We shouldn't do that. But I was wrong because other markets, although they might not overtly put a tariff on your goods, they do it in more subtle ways.
Have you learned that through examining simulations and equations, or have you learned that through narrative forms of people explaining things to
you?
Yeah,
narrative. You know, economists saying that, you know, well, there's no tariff, but for example, a good way to do it is to say your competitor in another country is subsidized by the federal government, right?
Okay.
Subsidizing the federal government-sponsored competitor to your goods is in some ways like charging a tariff on your goods. If they dump either in your country or their country, right? They take stuff and they dump so much of the product at a loss, that can be the equivalent of a tariff. It's not the same, but they do it in other ways. And I've learned about that since. And like I said, I supported it because I thought it was a good thing. I was completely wrong. So
because of stories that people told you, because of the ways that – because of narrative –
oh, I was wrong because of narrative?
No.
Narrative?
Yeah. This is how you learn.
But, I mean, these are articles I read in The Economist and The New York Times, and I listened to talking heads on everyone from MSNBC, even some conservative channels. So
what's the mistake, the scientific mistake of the mistake of understanding by the populace of something scientific that you would most like someone to write a book to fix?
Oh, is that our timer? I don't know. I don't know the answer to the question. I'll have to think about that for a subsequent episode.
Consilience with Pete and Charlie is a podcast about the intersection of science and the humanities.
What happened to the unity of knowledge, dude?
That's at the beginning. This is at the end.
Oh, okay.
Thanks for listening to Consilience with Pete and Charlie. You can find us on Facebook. You can like our page, share our episode announcements. Follow us on Twitter. You can find us on Tumblr, too, Pete and Charlie. We're all over the internet.
And what does the Georgia Institute of Technology and WRIK Atlanta think of the content of Consilience?
Hopefully they'll never find out.